Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
A lawyer and author who grew up in Elmhurst says he had help from many people as he pursued his dreams. He's now on the board of a Chicago-based organization that aims to pay it forward. I'm Rob Hart. We talk about the power of mentorship with lawyer and author Brian Thomas and Katie List, co-founder and executive director of Towers of Excellence, on this weekend's edition of At Issue. Brian Thomas, founder and lawyer at Thomas Law, author of the book The Privilege Race, A Guide to Overcoming Negative Voices and Influence, and Katie List, co-founder and executive director of Towers for Excellence. Thank you for joining us today on At Issue.
Thank you for having us, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be here.
Yeah, pleasure.
Well, Brian, you and I spoke at the Business Hour about a year ago, and you're the founder of your own law firm. You mentor high school students in the west side of Chicago. You serve on the boards of both Towers of Excellence and Base Chicago, and you wrote a book. How did you find the time to become an author?
Well, it was a little bit easier during COVID, to be quite honest, because I wasn't commuting as much. So there was an opportunity where I said to myself, what do you want to do? What's like one thing that you want to do before you, not to get morbid, but before I, you know, on my deathbed, that I'd be disappointed if I didn't accomplish. And that was writing a book. So rather than getting up and commuting, I was able to get up and spend an hour a day each morning writing something, getting myself a little bit closer. Some days it was a sentence, other days it was, you know, paragraphs or pages. And eventually it became a book.
Now, how far into the COVID-19 shutdowns and the work from home lifestyle did that book enter your mind? Because most people, during that time, they purchased sourdough starters. You decided to write a book instead. So when did inspiration strike?
That's a great question. It struck in the fall of 2020. So I was working with a life coach. I mentioned to him this was something that I wanted to do. So I got people around me who were other authors, other people who have written things, other people who could mentor me through the process, and then started writing. And I will tell you, Rob, that I wrote for weeks, months, and then ultimately got someone else in place to help me outline it, and I had to throw everything out. But the good thing was I was able to build the habit of writing every day.
Now, that seems like a very appropriate time to begin writing a book called The Privilege Race in the fall of 2020, because there was just so much going on in that year, beginning with the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, with the protests and the unrest, and then just the civic discourse that was just taking place about race relations in this country. And thanks to social media, I think everyone's personal experience because of social media became that much more direct. You were able to, in some cases, literally walk in somebody else's shoes. And words like privilege were being batted about from people who were just trying in a well-meaning way to really wrap their heads around what had been going on over the last couple of months. And was that your inspiration?
You must have read about me, because that was my inspiration. I was outdoors on a couch in my backyard, angry after George Floyd's death. And over the next couple of days, it hit me where I was sitting and what I was looking at. Trees, flowers, bushes, landscaped, beautiful backyard. And it hit me that I was living in privilege. And if I could do that, then why couldn't anyone else? Because to be quite honest, Rob, I'm not terribly special. So I started writing about it. I looked back to figure out how it was, how I got to where I was at that time. And really it was with a series of decisions that my parents made. And then I started making when I got in control of my life sometime in my 20s. And that's how I got there. So I figured maybe this is time to write the book. And that's when I started, fall of 2020.
And you weren't alone at that time. I think a lot of people were trying to articulate or really understand things that have been going on around them that they may not have noticed before or may not have been able to put the words together to describe it. And so you were able to do it in the book. A lot of other people did it in different ways. And it's just one part of that national conversation that is still ongoing today.
Yeah, it certainly is still ongoing today, even though I will tell you, sometimes I shy away from the conversation today just to, focus on my family and focus on work.
And I think that when it comes to writing that book and also making sure you get all of your thoughts down in the way you want to have them down, because a lot of other people tried to articulate their feelings during that time and they got into trouble because they weren't fully formed or they never had the opportunity to really bounce those thoughts off of somebody else. And you had that opportunity. You were able to work with others to help you get those thoughts onto paper.
There is, a book that's 270 pages and has my name on it, but there were dozens of people who helped. This book would never have been published if it wasn't for my family, first and foremost. But then there were people that I met with weekly, my publisher, my agent, coaches, other authors, that we would keep each other going. Sometimes it was more difficult to write, and other times I needed someone to bounce things off of, especially when you talk about race and privilege in the United States. Without those people, the book wouldn't exist.
What is the privilege race as articulated in the book, and how do your own experiences inform what you wrote?
Well, the book asks the reader what they want out of life. That's something that I continue to ask myself. What is it that I want out of this life? And then I look at the reasons why I make decisions, which are usually subconscious or unconscious limiting beliefs. And then I looked at why I have those beliefs. So a great example that I give in the book is I'm a kidney transplant patient. So ever since I can remember, my doctors, my mother, my father, my family, all well-intentioned, but they always told me I was fragile. And they always told me I had to be careful about the things that I was doing. Lo and behold, I'm 35 years old, still making decisions based upon that perceived fragility that I learned when I was a teenager. So, I had this opportunity to really look inward to see why I was making the decisions I was making. And what I asked the reader to do is to do the same thing, right? And instead of making decisions based upon these limiting beliefs, to actually go for it, figure out what they want, and then make a decision, small one at first, getting them a little bit closer to that goal.
And of course, your decisions that you make later in life, I think for everybody, they're informed by your experiences growing up. And in your case, you grew up in the Western suburbs with biracial parents. And how did that inform your perspective on the world?
It's a great question in a lot of different ways. But I think the biggest is my parents worked very hard. My parents bought probably the worst house in Elmhurst back in like 1978. And I saw them with their own two hands fix that house up to the nicest house on the block. And then they sold that house and bought another house in Elmhurst. And the reason why they moved to Elmhurst back in the 70s, it wasn't easy on them being a biracial couple, but they wanted my sister and I to get a great education. And I write about that in the book you make decisions today that not only affect you, but will affect your children and probably generations on. I now have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old at home, and they are reaping the benefits of decisions my parents made over 40 years ago.
You bring up a very good point, and that is whether it's the day you graduate from college or grad school or high school, and you are out in the world by yourself for the first time, or maybe it's the day you bring your first child home or the day you close on that house, you all of a sudden have a much greater appreciation for what your parents did when you were growing up. Because as you point out, it ain't easy. And it wasn't easy for them, and chances are it's not easy for you. And hopefully, if all goes well, you can impart some of that wisdom onto your kids when they discover it's not easy.
Well, I continue to tell them that. They don't listen at the moment, but I know in 10 years' time that they'll come back and say, you know, Dad, maybe, and Mom, you guys are right, and thank you for at least telling us what you told us back 10 years ago.
Now, when it comes to the privilege race and all the privilege race and all of these negative thoughts that people carry with them, you know, what? Why I can't do this? I don't want to do this. And if you begin listening to that voice, you will move heaven and earth to find every data point you can to prove that voice to be correct. And this is regardless of background. I mean, you could be a trillionaire. You could have two quarters to rub together, and everybody has that voice. And they have to deal with it. And what are some strategies that worked for you and could work for other people?
Wow, that's a great question, Rob. Meditation is one thing that I enjoy, still do. And I say that, I know it sounds a little woo-woo, but when the world is quiet around you, you actually get to listen to that voice. Journaling is another thing, you know, and then really just thinking about why it is I made a certain decision today, or why I felt small today. When I felt small, and admitting to myself that I did, and what caused it. Why did I feel like I did not belong in that particular room at that particular time? Analyzing that. And then when the time, when I have another opportunity to face that side of me, hopefully do the opposite.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We're talking with Brian Thomas, founder and lawyer at Thomas Law, author of the book, The Privilege Race, A Guide to Overcoming Negative Voices and Influences, and Katie List, co-founder and executive director of Towers of Excellence. Now, Katie, this is a great time to talk about the power of mentorship and providing that insight, providing that the knowledge that comes with years of experience. And as we talked about, you know, your kids appreciating all the work you do as an adult, and one day they understand that as well. The people who work with Towers of Excellence, I mean, this is another way of trying to pay it forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we are serving students on the west side of Chicago, and we have adults that are on site in these students' buildings that are paired with our students, and they're there to provide support and guidance. And a lot of what we do is parallel to what's mentioned in Brian's book, but we're there to teach them different skills, give them tools to kind of set themselves up for success, you know, kind of chip away at some of the barriers that they face, circumstances within their neighborhoods. There's so many richnesses within the neighborhoods that we serve, and we're helping our students to realize that and give them access to all the opportunities that they deserve, but we have to kind of bring those to light. So we have these incredible mentors who are there that help us expose our students to different opportunities. You know, we give academic support, social and emotional support. We expose them to opportunities within their own communities within Chicago that they may not otherwise be aware of. We take them on HBCU college tours, we bring them to Google site visits, really opening their eyes to, oh, I can do that. I can see myself in these different opportunities that are out there. And then we sit down and we have these mentors work with our students and develop plans and set goals to meditate, to, you know, have them really internalize, yeah, I can do this. And then step by step, they get there. And we're seeing it, you know.
And how old are the students who work with Towers of Excellence?
So we start working with students. We recruit them at fifth grade. And then they loop with a mentor. We pair them with a mentor from fifth grade to eighth grade. And then they graduate into our Pathways to Excellence program, which is high school, college, and beyond, where they're paired with another mentor, and then we kind of follow them through a series of program until they, the goal is our circle of success is then they graduate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And the career of their desire and come back into their communities and start mentoring. And so we're seeing that come to fruition year 11 now. So our first cohort of students, one of our students started with us in 2015. He is first-generation college student at Clark Atlanta. You know, and we've had hiccups throughout his experience, but we stuck with him. The mentors kind of rose to the occasion when he needed us, and he now is mentoring youth on-site at his campus, but coming back to do a class with our students, and it's just, it's full circle.
For students who are in the program today, the issues that they're dealing with on a daily basis, how much of it is universal, stuff that we dealt with when we were kids, and how much of it is very unique to today just because of the technology that is available to kids today through social media that makes all the stuff that we dealt with, the insecurities, the anxieties, the fear of missing out, because of social media, all that stuff is 10 times worse because the technology is there just to throw it back in your face all the time.
Yeah, that's a great question, great point. I think the students that we serve on the West Side are already disproportionately impacted by violence and different inequities that exist within their communities, you know, not having access to certain opportunities. Now throw in social media and all of these other, access and exposure to different things that they're seeing. And we're seeing a rise in like bullying, right? Like the 121% increase in.
Yeah, because you can use the app to be a bully now. You don't have to be in person anymore. You can do it remotely.
Yeah.
Ours is a world of wonders, Katie.
Yes, yes, yes. So we're having to like counteract that and talk with our students about that and let them know like this is happening. This is what we can do. Put your phone down. You know, how do you respond to this? Do you not respond to this? So we have a very rigorous like social and emotional program that we use to help guide our students through a lot of that.
And then Brian, on the privilege race side of things, you look at downtown Chicago, you see the skyscrapers of the Loop, and a lot of us take it for granted that this is a place that's accessible to us, that you can go down there at any time and go to a show, go to a restaurant, just look at the buildings. But there are a lot of people in Chicago who will look at the skyscrapers from their neighborhoods, and that it might as well be a different planet in terms of accessibility to them and the opportunities available to you. And how far do you as a mentor go and the organization, Katie, to telling people, yeah, this is your city and these are your opportunities too?
Well, Katie is excellent at that with respect to the children and getting them out, not only out of the neighborhood. And like she said, the neighborhoods are beautiful and wonderful in their own right. However, a lot of these kids don't know that they have the opportunity to come downtown. They don't experience the art museum. And Katie has had the opportunity and taken opportunity to take these kids out of their neighborhoods and take them for a day at the art museum so they can experience what we all, or some of us at least, take for granted. And that's just one example. I mean, Katie's taking them to see the Chicago Blackhawks and to get on the ice, to get the kids on the ice. And, you know, there's plenty of other opportunities. And what we try to do is just invite them so that they know that they're welcome.
As someone who finally is invited in to see all of these cultural institutions that you may have felt are not for you, and that, and then you realize they are for you, and you've learned a lot, and now you can pass that knowledge on to somebody else. What's it like to see that light go on in somebody's eyes?
I mean, it is both an honor and a privilege to be able to see that light go off in a lot of our students' eyes, and to see them really shift almost a perspective of, oh, wow, it's transformative. And it's a really special thing to be a part of. And it really gives me the momentum to continue doing this great work that we get to do with Towers of Excellence. You know, I think just sitting down and mapping out our calendar for this year, making sure that we incorporate new experiences and new ideas to excite the students, but also just to, you know, grow that perspective. I think of, like, every time I travel, I come back a new person because I have this new understanding of a new culture, a new people in a different light. And I think being able to pay that forward and give that to our students is a beautiful thing.
Seems like the topic A in the country for the last 2 or 3 months is, what do we do about the problems that exist in Chicago? And how do we solve the issues of violent crime? How do we solve the issues of disinvestment? And what is, you know, based on your experiences mentoring students, what is the one thing or two things that the discourse may be missing about what the average student on the west side of Chicago, what their life is like on a daily basis?
I think that when we have these conversations, we talk from our own seats. And I think when you are in my chair or someone like me, it's really easy to talk down on someone or to someone without actually sitting in their chair on their sofa and stepping in their shoes. It's very difficult to be someone that you don't see. And that's why I think Towers and other organizations like them are so important, because it gives us the opportunity to let these children see people doing what they one day want to do. I'll tell you, look, I grew up in Elmhurst. I loved it. I wanted to be a lawyer. My next door neighbor was a lawyer, right? If I wanted to be a doctor, you know, I can go to Gregor's dad. He was a doctor. He could guide me. But a lot of people don't have that opportunity. And, you know, for 50 years, I, you know, had this highway to wherever I wanted to go that thankfully my parents set up for me by sending me to, you know, York High School and then college. My job now is to take out my machete and start building pathways for kids on the west side so that they can get to where they want to go.
You bring up a very good point. That is something that we take for granted, is that if everybody reflects on their professional journey, we can all name one person or 10 people who helped us along the way. Even if, when we just said, well, I want to do this when I grow up, as you mentioned, there's a neighbor over here who could help you in one discipline. There's a neighbor over there who could help you in another discipline. And Katie, I'm sure your list, you have the same list that we all have. If you don't have those opportunities in your life, you wonder, well, what would I have become without them? That question is being answered hundreds of times a day, not only across this city, but all over the world.
Yeah, it really is, fortunately. Yeah. And Katie's on, you know, Katie is doing it every day with the children.
Yeah. It's, I think the solution, or one of the solutions to a lot of the issues that we see in Chicago, is mentoring. It's quality mentoring. It is creating or fostering these trusting relationships with an adult and a student that can say, hey, let me point you in this direction. Let me help you create this pipeline of doctors, lawyers, radio disc jockeys, host, you know, a journalist, and let me just make that connection. And I think, like Brian said, having, or you, Rob, you said, having 1 to 10 people that we can recall, it's like we're providing that. So these students are able to kind of go in their back pocket, look at their phone, and be like, let me call Brian, let me call Rob and be able to like set something up and know that we're there for them.
You're listening to Ad Issue on WBBM News Radio. We're talking with Brian Thomas, founder and lawyer at Thomas Law and author of the book, The Privilege Race, A Guide to Overcoming Negative Voices and Influences, and Katie List, co-founder and executive director of Towers of Excellence. You were able to write the book, Brian, because you were able to experience quiet and relaxation and really take the time to quiet the world around you, listen to nature, and articulate your thoughts in your mind before you put them on paper and turn them into this book 5 years ago. We don't have that opportunity very often to quiet things down. The world seems to just get noisier, and there's just so much stimuli in the air, a lot of it coming out of your phone. So as an adult trying to run your own privilege race, or as a mentor, how do you find that quiet, especially in a world that doesn't really invite it?
That is an excellent question. Sometimes it's just as easy as taking Facebook off of my phone, or taking Instagram off of my phone and taking a social media detox. Other times, to be quite honest, everything that we're talking about the kids that we serve on the West Side, it still applies to us today too. I have mentors. I still talk to people who help me and make suggestions on how I can move myself a little bit further on in life and live the life of my dreams. It doesn't stop when you're my age, which I won't, I don't need to say, but it doesn't stop the growth. So, one thing that I do is I seek it out. I seek out quiet, right? And that could just be, and look, it doesn't need to be 10 hours a day of quiet. Sometimes it's just five. Or if I'm in a courtroom waiting for my case to be called, rather than being on my phone or checking emails, just sit there quietly.
And then, in your own experiences, I think outside of just writing a book, you built your own business. And what did you learn along the way about yourself in building that business? Because you talk about the negative voices in your head when anybody wants to jump in to business ownership and entrepreneurship with both feet. You talk about the voices that are telling you, no, don't do it. They're pretty loud. So how did you turn that volume down? And what did you learn along the way that, again, helped you write this book?
I'd say the best advice is keep showing up. When I started my firm, I compared myself to other attorneys who had been practicing on their own with their own firms for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And that was not a fair comparison, who was out on his own for 25 weeks because their practice was way different from mine at that time. So it was really just showing up day in and day out, doing the work, and that knowing that I was comparing myself with who I was yesterday and just trying to get a little bit better every day. My office manager and I had a conversation about this a week ago about what our overhead was 10 years ago versus what it is today. And I could tell you, it's significantly more today. And I'm not saying that to brag. It's less about that. It's more about growth. And because I showed up every day, because we all showed up every day, we were able to grow every day, just a little bit.
And then Katie, what did you learn as the co-founder of Towers of Excellence? What have you learned about yourself from the day the organization got off the ground?
Oh, wow. Great question. I was a part of a dynamic team that helped open a school on the West Side, Catalyst Circle Rock, shout out. And that was in 2006, so almost 20 years ago. And then I was introduced to this community and these students and these families, and I had to learn a lot about myself. I had to learn a lot about the community. I think I had several roles while I was there. I was the dean. I was the curriculum director. I was a teacher. I was a principal. And my most important role that I learned was being a mentor, was showing up either for the teachers, but especially for the students and for the families, and just listening. And it taught me a lot about myself. While I was there, what do I need? you know, I need to just take time for myself. I need to be able to have someone in my life that listens, you know? And so that was, and then in 2015, so I stepped away from that role in 2012 to have my own children, but something kept calling me back, which is why we designed and developed Towers of Excellence, still rooted at that same school on the west side of Chicago. But since 2015, over the last 10, 11 years, I have grown, you know, so much as a person. But like Brian said, I just wake up and I take the next action. Like, I can get in my own way. Like, I should stop doing this. I'm not doing it justice. I'm not doing it. It's like, no, show up. And every time I get up and show up, I grow and I can hopefully impact the students that are in front of me and our staff. And it seems to be heading in that direction. So I learn a lot from the students, but it's taught, I've learned to just take time for myself, listen, what do I need, and just show up. Continue to show up.
Katie List and Brian Thomas, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can hear it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week when we talk about the current state of Illinois politics with former Governor Pat Quinn. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.